Once I was giving a CCD class a tour of the Catholic Church I was in, and we walked around to show them all the statues and stained glass windows and Stations of the Cross, and then I went to the crucifix, and I showed them the crucifix, and there were four letters, as you know, on top of every crucifix, I-N-R-I. And so I asked the kids, tell me, who knows what those letters stand for? And one kid said, I know, Father, in Rhode Island. And then, of course, I had to explain to them that those were letters that represented Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The I, of course, stands for J, for Jesus. The N, Nazareth. R, for Rex. As you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex, the king of the dinosaurs. Rex means king. Rex. And then I is the Jews. That's an abbreviation of what was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek over Christ at his crucifixion. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Today is the feast day of Christ the King. It is the culmination of the entire liturgical year. Next Sunday, we begin a new year, Advent. So the entire church's liturgy leads up to today's great feast day of Christ the King. And on this feast day of Christ the King, the church today gives us a wonderful passage from St. Luke's Gospel. And it is the man who acknowledged that Christ was King. And this man was a dying thief. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He acknowledged that Christ was a king. What great faith this man had. Listen to the words of St. John Chrysostom. He wrote these words 1,600 years ago. He says, this robber stole paradise. No one before him ever received such a promise. Not Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses or the prophets or the apostles. The thief pressed in before all these. But his faith also surpassed theirs. He saw Jesus tormented and adored him as if he were in glory. He sought him nailed to a cross and petitioned him as if he were enthroned. He saw him condemned and asked a favor of him as of a king. O admirable thief, thou didst see a crucified man, and thou did proclaim a God. Think of the faith of that man on the cross. Perhaps it was his first prayer. Perhaps it was his last prayer. Perhaps it was his only prayer. Bishop Sheen jokes that he was a thief to the end. He stole paradise at the last minute. And he says, and we can steal paradise as well. But we have to do those same things that this thief did, namely, repent of our sins, just like this thief was sorry for his sins. He asked for forgiveness. He accepted his sufferings. He knew that he was being punished for what he had done, so he accepted his fate in justice. He asked for mercy. So these are the things that we do as well when we go to confession. We repent of our sins. We ask for forgiveness. Every day when we wake up, we say our morning offering, and we offer to the Lord our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of the day. So we accept whatever God wants to send us for our own spiritual good to help get us to heaven. And so this thief had great faith. And when we read this passage, we also see, though, that there were others in the crowd that it says the rulers sneered at Jesus and made fun of him. They began to call out, if you're the Messiah, come down from the cross. Again, as Bishop Sheen says, it would be human to come down. It was divine to just hang there. So Jesus, as the Son of God, was paying the price for our salvation, dying on the cross, shedding his blood for us. And when we think of the one who acknowledged that Christ was a king, It was not one of the Pharisees. It was not one of the scribes. It was this robber, this thief, crucified on Jesus' right side. The thief on the left began to revile Jesus as well and said, "Save yourself and us if you're truly the Messiah." And yet, the thief on his right rebuked him and said, "Have you no fear of God?" See, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Scripture says. We should have reverence for God, this great awe and respect and reverence that we should have for God, fear of offending God, fear of sin. We should fear hell, fear sin, fear offending God. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So he says, "Have you no fear of God? For we are subject to the same condemnation. We have been condemned justly." So you see, he acknowledges the justice that he's receiving. He says, "This sentence corresponds to our crimes. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing criminal." Again, it's amazing when you think of the faith of this thief, because he didn't see Jesus on a throne. He saw Jesus nailed to a cross. He didn't see Jesus holding a scepter. He saw Jesus' hands pierced with nails. He didn't see Jesus wearing a gold crown. He saw Jesus wearing a crown of thorns. He didn't see Jesus clothed in beautiful royal garments. He saw Jesus clothed with his own flesh, which hung over him like purple rags filled with blood. So this great faith that this man has, and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." See, that's a good prayer for us to memorize as well. If you want a good prayer again for your deathbed, because this thief was on his deathbed, if you want a good prayer, remember that. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So he acknowledges that Christ is king. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." It's one of my favorite passages of the whole Bible. What comfort and consolation this is, that this man on his deathbed acknowledges Christ as Lord and King. And Jesus says, "Today, I assure you, you'll be with me in paradise." If you read the Life of Christ by Bishop Sheen, he has a whole chapter on this event. And he refers to this as a little microcosm of what will happen on the last day, when Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep, the goats on his left, the sheep on his right. And ultimately, people will go to one of those two destinations, either heaven or hell, as represented by the two thieves, one who rejected Christ, the other who accepted him. And it's interesting, he says, the thief on the left asked to be taken down. The thief on the right asked to be taken up. And so on this feast day of Christ the King, I would suggest that we do certain things to acknowledge that Christ is the King and center of our life. Because something reigns in your heart right now. It's either sin or it is Christ. How do you live your life? How do we live our life? Is Jesus Christ the King and Lord of our heart and soul? Or have we put other things above Christ, whether it be material possessions or money or a job or sports or whatever it may be? What do we acknowledge as our King? If anything is reigning in our hearts above Christ, then we need to tear it down and enthrone Christ as King and Lord of our hearts and of our souls. And we do this first by going to confession. When we go to confession, we overthrow those things that have become king of our life or our hearts. Sins, for example, we get rid of in confession, and then we place Christ as King and Lord of our hearts, and he then reigns in our hearts through sanctifying grace. Secondly, I would suggest that in our families, we need to acknowledge the kingship of Christ in our homes. And we can do this by enthroning the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in our homes. After Mass today, you can sign up to have the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in your home, where you get a picture of Jesus, his Sacred Heart, or a statue of Jesus with his Sacred Heart, and you consecrate and enthrone your family to the Sacred Heart. Third, I would suggest that we have to look at our own parish and see what can we do to further advance the kingship of Christ, especially his true presence in the Holy Eucharist. When we designed the church, we made sure that the tabernacle was in the center, with adoring angels around the tabernacle to enthrone Christ as King of this parish. And our adoration chapel is a way to acknowledge the kingship of Christ. Jesus there, 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, you can go and kneel before the King of Kings. In fact, every time we genuflect, we're acknowledging that Christ is King. See, that's what people do when they come into the presence of a king. They genuflect. And we genuflect every time we come into Mass or leave Mass. When we go before Jesus exposed in the Blessed Sacrament and adoration, we should kneel on two knees if possible and adore the King of Kings. And lastly, the fourth way, besides enthroning Jesus in our hearts through sanctifying grace and our families through the enthronement and our parish by adoring him in Eucharistic adoration, should be what we do for society. So we're trying to bring about the conversion of our country, the conversion of our culture from a culture of death to a culture of life, a civilization of love and of life. That's why we promote holiness and virtue and goodness within society. We promote the dignity of marriage between a man and a woman. We promote family life. We promote respect for all human life from natural conception until natural death. So we need to do this in our society through the political realm, through the local community, to promote the dignity of each and every human person by helping to take care of the poor and the needy, by respecting all human life, especially the unborn, by bringing about the reign of Christ in our society and in our culture. So those are some things that we should do as we think about this great feast day of Christ the King. Acknowledge Christ in our hearts, in our families, in our parish, and in society. And remember, it was that thief who taught us how to do this. Namely, have great faith in Christ, accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, repent of our sins, and ask Jesus for his mercy. God bless you.